Welcome to the Riverside Church Podcast. Riverside Church is a community of believers striving side by side for the gospel in the greater New Orleans area. For more information about Riverside Church, go to riversidelife.org.
This morning, the title of my message is Continuing in the Word. Continuing in the Word. For the past couple of months, we've been walking through the beautiful chapter that is Psalm 119. And in Psalm 119, we have beheld the power, glory, authority, and wisdom of God's Word. You heard that last week as Vic preached, and man, he did a great job. This is online from vacation in Florida. But I'm going to give you a break from Psalm 119 this week. And so we are going to be in the New Testament book of 2 Timothy. We're going to be in the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. And that's another beautiful passage that discusses God's Word. So if you have your Bibles, join me in 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. If you don't have a copy of God's Word this morning, I'd encourage you to grab one of the blue Bibles in the seat in front of you, and you can find our text today on page 578. 578. There was once a time in my life when I would have called myself a gym bro or a gym rat, something of that sort. I would lift weights about four or five times a week. I know it's hard to believe, but it happened. There was a time in my life where this happened. I've never been a big guy, but I might have looked a little bigger than I do now. I might have had a little more definition. I was eating the right amount of protein, matching the protein in grams to like my weight. I was reading up on all the things and eating more calories than I needed so that I could bulk up, you know. I was tracking my calories on MyFitnessPal. It's a great app. I was really serious about this. I had a lot of rhythms in my life that would help me meet my goals in the gym. You probably noticed that I've been using past tense to describe my gym journey, my fitness journey. It is something, sadly, that is up quite of the past. I probably haven't been to the gym. It's been several months. It's embarrassingly long. But I haven't been in the gym consistently, at least since me and Kate got engaged. So it's been a little while since I have been in the gym. You probably have similar stories and similar testimonies of things in your life. Healthy rhythms, healthy habits that you had that you're looking back now and you're asking yourself, why did I ever stop? Why did I not continue with whatever this habit is? In our text this morning, we find one simple command. Continue. This also means to remain or to abide, to stay focused on what is at hand. Paul commands young Timothy to remain devoted to the teachings of God's Word, to not stop learning and believing and hearing the Scriptures, to not move on to bigger and better things, because in all reality, there is no bigger and better thing out there. This text, along with the first few verses of chapter 4, are the climax of the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy is what we believe to be Paul's final letter before he died. It's written from a Roman prison, and he knows that his time is short. We see that in several places in this book. But he writes this book maybe as a final encouragement to his son in the faith, Timothy. He encourages Timothy to keep walking with Jesus, to keep pastoring and shepherding his people. Throughout the book, we see Paul actually point out six specific individuals who have not continued, who have walked away. They've turned away, and they haven't continued in their pursuit of Christ and of His Word. And he mentioned several others. He mentioned six specifically, but there are several others that he alludes to that have done this. That is why the command to continue is so necessary. People that Paul has interacted with all throughout his ministry, he's watching them drop like flies as they walk away from the faith. In this text, we see Paul command Timothy to not be like all of these people that are dropping like flies, that aren't continuing in the word. He's encouraging Timothy to keep going. And this command is for you and I as well. We must continue in our devotion to God's word because it has the power to transform our lives. That's the main point for this morning. We must continue in our devotion to God's word because it has the power to transform our lives. Our passage today considers two questions for us regarding how we deal with the subject. How do we continue in the word? It answers that, how, but it also answers why. We're first going to consider how we continue in the word because that's where Paul begins in our text. Read verses 14 and 15 with me one more time. But as for you, continue, there's that command, in what you have learned. That's the first thing that Paul gives us for continuing in the word. He tells us that how we do that is by learning. The first thing that Paul says after this command to continue is the phrase, in what you have learned. Continue is the subject of the sentence in this case, and in what you have learned is the object of the sentence. In order for continuing in the Word of God to happen in our lives, there has to be some level of learning the Word of God that has happened or is currently happening. It's physically impossible to continue in something that you do not understand or practice. If someone were to come up to me and tell me, Jay, you need to continue in your playing of professional football. Well, you know, that wouldn't work out very well because I have no understanding and I'm not currently practicing a career in professional football. I'm still aspiring to that, still working on it. Therefore, we as Christians, if we are going to continue in the Word of God, we must become students of the Word of God. This has been something said to you from this pulpit over and over and over again in the past 2 months as we have walked through Psalm 119. For those of you in here who may not be regular readers of the Bible or learners of God's Word at this time, I want to offer you a place to start. Figure this is a good time for practical wisdom to be given to you. And this is just Jay's preference. This is not like in where you have to start in the Bible. This is just my preference. Students, maybe some of you are looking to read the Bible now or looking to get in the Bible after going to camp, or kids as you're coming back from mini-mat camp, or all kinds of things. You're trying to figure out where to get going in the Bible. A good place to begin is the New Testament Gospel of John. You should begin by reading a chapter of John every day, and then going to Matthew and reading a chapter of Matthew every day, all through these books, and then do the same thing with Luke and with Mark. That's the fourth gospel. Yeah, with Matthew, Mark, Luke. Yeah, all four of those. But after you walk through those books in the Bible, you will have an understanding of the life of Jesus. You'll have an understanding of the main character of this book. And then you can go somewhere else. You can finish out the New Testament, or you can go to the Old Testament and read Genesis. But the point is that you learn. We must be learners of the Word in order to continue in the Word. If you don't have a method, well, I'd encourage you to take my method, but find a method and be a learner. Become a learner of the Bible. Paul gives this command to Timothy with the understanding that he has done this in his life. It's past tense for Timothy. It's okay if in your life you haven't done much study in the Bible, but now is the time to begin that. If there hasn't been a period of learning the Word of God in your past, like I said, it's okay. Start today in that process of learning. The second thing we must do in order to continue in the Word of God is to believe the Word of God. Look at our passage again. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed. This sounds so simple to us, surely. Of course I gotta believe it. Of course I gotta believe the Bible. I've always believed in the Bible. Well, there's a reason why Paul is commanding Timothy to believe it, or explaining that it's connected to continuing with it, rather. How many times have we seen people in our own lives walk away from their faith when storms come? We know story after story of Christian leaders who deconstruct, that's a big thing now, who deconstruct their faith because they cannot reconcile their belief in God with the harsh things that are happening in our world. This shouldn't be a surprise to us, as Jesus told us that this would happen in the parable of the sower. You're familiar with the parable of the sower. Jesus actually is challenged to explain the parable of the sower in Mark chapter 4, and he explains that the parable refers to people who have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. But then, when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. There are people who will respond this way when they see the word, when they hear the word, when they receive the word. They'll go on for a little while, but they will walk away when tribulation or persecution comes. The point is that when things get difficult, it is easy to stop believing, to quit coming to church, to quit reading God's word, to quit reminding ourselves of his promises because we think that they're not yes and amen, like 2 Corinthians 1:20 says. Students and church people, as we're coming off this season of excitement of camp, we've seen fruit. We've seen people give their life to Jesus. We've seen people get excited about their faith. It's easy to believe in those seasons when you see God moving. It's easy to believe in those seasons where we're all together, we're all gathered in worship. When you're away from all the distractions, like our students were at camp, all responsibilities, all trials, it's so easy to believe. Now reality hits. For some of our students, reality has already hit for them. They've gone back to home situations that aren't great. They've gone back to things that are hard in their life. They've been hit in the face with reality. It's in those moments where we must believe. We must pick up this book and remind ourselves of the truths that it contains, of how God loves us, of how he cares for us, and how he's there for us when we cry out to him. You must keep believing. We, as a church, must keep believing. If we do not keep believing, then we will not be able to continue in the word of God, like Paul says to do. The third thing that we must do in order to continue in the word is to hear it. So we've seen learning, believing, and now hearing. Look at our text with me. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you have learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings. This is very closely connected, hearing is, to the first thing of learning. But hearing emphasizes something else. It emphasizes relationships with others. It emphasizes other people. It says to continue in our text, learning and believing and hearing, but also knowing from whom you have learned it. That's a relational phrase there. From whom you have learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings. It surely is a reference that Paul is making to himself as Timothy's mentor, but it's also a reference to Timothy's mother and grandmother, Lois and Eunice. Those are two people that we see at the beginning of 2 Timothy who actually led to Timothy's faith. The faith that once dwelled in them, Paul writes, now dwells in you, Timothy. Timothy heard Lois and Eunice, perhaps around the dinner table, perhaps in the home, talking about their faith in Christ, and that is what led Timothy to belief. He heard, and it led to belief, and it led to his continuing. It led to his knowing and understanding of the word of God. We must have people in our lives from whom we are hearing the word of God. This is the way that God has designed for disciples to be made and his church to be built. Paul writes in the book of Romans, how can they hear without a preacher? How can they believe in one whom they have never heard? Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, one chapter before this, what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Those are three generations of discipleship right there. Four generations, actually. You have Paul who teaches Timothy, who teaches others, who teaches others. You see, this faith is passed down from us to others by hearing, by us speaking it and others hearing it. And if our faith is going to be built up as disciples of Jesus Christ, if we're going to continue in this word, then we must hear it. These discipleship relationships are key to our own continuing in the word of God because we are unable to do it on our own. There'll be a point when we don't understand a passage of scripture and need guidance. There'll be a time in our lives when we will be out of line with scripture in our behavior, and we'll need that reproof that we see in verse 15 or 16. There will be a time when we need correction. There will even be times in our lives when we will question the very character of God. And we will need someone to remind us of who he is from the pages of this book. We must hear the book. If you're in this room today and nobody is investing in your life by discipling you, maybe you're a new believer, or maybe you've been a believer for a long time, but you've never grown in knowledge of the Word of God. Go find someone who you know knows the Bible and allow them to teach you and allow yourself to hear the Word of God being taught to you. There are plenty of people in this church who are wells of wisdom, who are knowledgeable about the Word of God. They would love nothing more if you came to them and asked, hey, teach me about this book of the Bible. Walk through the Bible with me. Join me in this reading plan. Mentor me. Disciple me. We must have these types of things going in order for the church to continue and to be built up and to be healthy. Additionally, if you're in the room and you're not a new believer, maybe you are a mature believer. You've been in the scriptures for a long time. You're well versed in God's word. You need to be discipling someone else. Part of the Great Commission, which is binding on every believer, you know, Matthew 28, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. What's that next phrase? Teaching. It's teaching. So not only are we to make disciples, but we're supposed to teach others how to obey the commands of Christ. The Great Commission tells us that teaching is something that Jesus commands as well. So if you're well-versed in the scriptures, go find someone who you can teach. Fulfill the Great Commission. Don't wait on them to come up and ask you, but begin praying now and ask the Lord to reveal to you someone who you can go and disciple. And you go and take the initiative. Once you know who it is, go and tell them, I want to walk through the Bible with you. I want to start this reading plan with you. I want to help you grow in your faith. Take that first step toward them, and you'll see that the Lord will honor that, as that is what he's commanded us to do. That's how we continue in the Word of God. That's the how part. It's very simple. We learn it. We believe it. We hear it. It's really simple. We just saturate our lives with the Word of God and allow it to shape us, to mold us, to transform us. And this will give us the strength to continue running the race that God has called us to run. Some of you in here may remain unconvinced as to why we should do this. Why should I read the Bible? Why should I dedicate my time, much less my life, to this book? Why does it matter? That's why Paul included the next part of our passage. It explains to us why we continue in the Word. Paul begins explaining the why by saying that the scriptures, at the end of verse 15, are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. They are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. In this book, we find the message of the gospel. We find the good news of Jesus Christ. In these very pages, we have the truth that will transform us and bring us from death to life. If you're in here and you haven't heard the good news, if you're not a follower of Jesus, first of all, we're glad you're here. But secondly, I want to explain what this book teaches us about that. Because that is the greatest thing that this book has to offer, giving us life. The gospel message can be summed up in four words: God, man, Christ, response. I'm going to be teaching our students this next 4 weeks, but God, man, Christ, response. It's super easy. There's a God who made the world. He made you and me. He made all the things that we see outside, the birds and the trees. Maybe not the roads or the buildings, but all the other things, like nature. He made all things. There's a God who made all things. And because he made all things, we're accountable to him. Now, you're probably thinking, why would I be accountable to this God? It's the same reason why the maker of a car is the one who writes the manual. Because they know it. They made it. They know best. And so we're accountable to this God. Mankind is accountable to God. But they've rebelled against him. We have rebelled against him by, for lack of better terms, not following the manual. We have disobeyed the scriptures. We've disobeyed his commands. And that alienates us from him. And because of that, because of our rebellion, he has to punish us. Because he's a perfect God. He's a holy God. He's a righteous God. But God didn't want to punish us. He didn't want to condemn us to sin or to death and hell, because that's what we deserve for our sin. But he made a way for us. He made a way by sending Christ, that's the third word, God, man, Christ, who lived a perfect life, who followed the manual perfectly, completely, lived the life that we couldn't live. He died the death that we deserve. And he rose again on the third day. And God was able to maintain his holiness and punish sin because it had to be punished, but he's able at the same time to give us grace that he wanted to give us all along. That's a great exchange. Our sin for Christ's righteousness, we're able to receive that through the fourth thing, response. Responding in repentance and faith. Turning from our sins and turning to Christ, looking to him as our Savior. Looking to him as our Lord, leaving behind our life of sin and trusting in him for the rest of our lives. That is the response that this Bible commands of us. That is the message of the Bible. From Genesis to Revelation, that's what it's about, God, man, Christ, response. And at the end of Revelation, you see this picture of God's people who have responded in faith. And they're gathered around the throne, and they're enjoying him forever. So if you're in here, and you're not a believer, you're not a follower of Jesus, respond today in repentance and faith. Turn from your sin and place your faith in Christ. Come talk to one of us, me or Tommy or Pastor Jared when he gets back, about what that means to follow Jesus. But that is why this book matters. That is why this scripture matters. That's why we continue in it. That's why 2,000 years later, one of my friends, Andrew Waters, on the front row, says that Christians are like the worst book club because they're still stuck on the same book. They've been stuck on the same book for 2,000 years. And it's true. But that's why it matters, is because it contains this gospel message. Because of the scriptures, we can have life. There's two more reasons that Paul gives for why we should continue in the word. Firstly, we see that the scriptures are inspired by God. I won't get into this much. That's what breathing out means in our text. Tommy explained that with a beautiful illustration a couple weeks ago on the doctrine of scripture when he preached on that. And he gave you a really clear explanation of inspiration. It's God's word. The Bible is the word of the living God. The God of the universe has chosen to speak to his creation in a way that they can understand it through human words. And that's the reason why we must continue in the word, because it is his word. Let me give you an illustration for why this matters. Okay, it's God's word. Why does it matter? Well, if you got a text from an unknown number this week, and it was claiming to be the President of the United States, no matter what side of the political spectrum you're on, that's a conversation you're going to continue. You're going to keep going because of who texted you. It doesn't matter what you think politically. If somebody important like that texts you, you're going to continue that conversation. You're not going to leave the President of the United States on read. It's not going to happen. You're going to keep going. You're going to continue on in that conversation. And that's why this matters, that it's God's word. If God, who is infinitely more important than the President, speaks to us, we should continue in conversation with him by reading his word and through prayer. We wouldn't leave God unread. We shouldn't leave God unread. The fact that this is the Word of God should motivate us to continue in the Scriptures. Lastly, this Scripture is profitable to us in our walk with Jesus. That's another reason why we should continue in it. The Bible contains the gospel. It contains the words that bring life. It is the very Word of God, but thirdly, it's profitable to us in our walk with Jesus. That's the last reason why we should continue in it. Paul has several things in our text that it does. It teaches us. And how does it teach us? It teaches us three ways. It reproves us, which means it exposes our wrongdoing, calls us out when we screw up. It corrects us, which means that it gives us a pathway back to walking with God. It gives us that blueprint for how we respond when we have been reproved. And it trains us to be the men and women that God has called us to be. This book, if we are willing to submit our lives to it, to allow it to reprove, correct, and train, it'll make us complete, equipped for every good work. That's why we must continue in it. If we're truly in Christ, wanting to accomplish His will for our lives, we will continue in the Scriptures. We will allow them to shape us, to mold us, to convict us, and to lead us to repentance. We will let them sand us down like a piece of furniture that hasn't been sanded down. It's got rough on the edges. We'll let the Scriptures sand us down and shape us, smooth us out so that we are useful to our Lord. The Word of God is beneficial for us if this is our goal in life. And like I said, if we are truly in Christ, our goal should be to bring glory to His name. The Westminster Shorter Catechism says, the chief end of man, our greatest goal, our greatest aspiration is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever, to fulfill His ministry for each and every one of us. The Bible is what He has given us, His avenue for accomplishing this in us. We must continue in it. We must not go on to the next fad, to the next big thing. We must remain in the Scriptures. Continue in the Scriptures. If you're here today and you're trucking along in your study, in your Bible reading plan, it's July. We're getting toward the middle. We're wrapping up the middle, actually. Maybe you're bogged down. You're in one of these tough books, like one of the prophets. Maybe it's probably around that time. I want to encourage you, keep going. Keep going. Keep reading. Continue on. If you're here today and you haven't been in the Word of God, I plead with you, get into it. Get into it. This is the only way by which we are made useful vessels for God to us in this world. If you're here today and you've never beheld Jesus as your Savior, you've never heard that message before and responded through repentance and faith, I encourage you today, do that. Do that. Take up and read this book and see Jesus. See your sin. See your need for a Savior. And see what Jesus has done for you and me. And turn to Him in repentance and faith and receive forgiveness for your sins. We must continue in our devotion to God's Word, because it has the power to transform our lives. Let's pray together.